Coming up next, I'm going to tell you the jobs and career paths where people stay employed the longest. And then, is eating good in the neighborhood still a thing? I'll break down a mass resignation at Applebee's. You're not going to believe it. And then, I'm going to coach you up. It starts right now. All right, folks, welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you win at work and in life. We're going to talk about you making more money. Yeah, that gets everybody's attention. But I'm also going to show you, coach you, guide you to where you actually experience more meaning as well, more income and more impact, so that you do see purpose and meaning in your work. Let's go. I am a man of the people, and so my job as man of the people is to inform you and inspire you. And we'll start with informing today. That's how we kind of start every show, don't we? What are the jobs or work sectors, professional sectors, where people stay employed, meaning they don't job hop, they stay in one place the longest? This is fascinating. This will come as no surprise to a lot of you people who call yourselves conservative. This will get the conservative wing of the Ken Coleman Show audience a little fired up. Let's dive in. From an article of Forbes where they cited a Glassdoor study of 5,000 job transitions. So they looked for patterns within all these people changing jobs. Are you ready for this? Here we go. We got a list. Number one, industry, where people stay in their job the longest. I actually laughed out loud when I saw this. Government, of course, 18.6 years. All right, so I'm not going to comment on all 10. I'm going to camp out on a couple. And we're stopping here, Nathan, for a second. You know why? Because this speaks to, and I got to be careful right now. I'm not banging on government workers, all right? But I'm just going to tell you that the environment of government lends itself to people staying in a sedentary professional position for much longer, and the data now bears it out. Why? What does government bring to people? What do people always cite on government jobs when they call in the show? You know what they say? Well, it's really safe, really stable employment because of my benefits. Government's not going to ever go anywhere. Really? When was the last time you cracked a history book? But this is the deal. People work in government jobs for a long time because they feel like it's the safest place to hang out, and the data now bears it out. All right, next. Aerospace and defense jobs. Average tenure, 17.3 years. Next is media. Average tenure, 16.9 years. Now, I will tell you, I was a little surprised by this number because in the control room today is Samantha. And in the local area, she was known as Traffic Cam Sam. Am I saying that right? Traffic Jam Sam. Ah, geez. I don't watch local news. Local news is awful. It's awful. All it is somebody got shot in the 17 block, and it's just bad news all the time. If you want to be depressed, watch local news every night. Now, Traffic Jam Sam is a positive position. She was up every morning telling people, look, you got to be on the lookout for this route over here. It's all good. Anyway, Sam and many others like her are leaving media in droves because it's not a very sustainable professional industry unless you're a big-time star. So I was a little shocked to see this, but 16.9 years average tenure for people in media. Next, information technology, average tenure, 16.8 years. Not surprised by this. In fact, I don't know why it's not number one. I would tell you this data does measure from 2007 to 2016. I think you're going to see, as each year goes by, you're going to see technology jobs with longer tenure. The reason is because there's so many opportunities within technology so that you could stay in that field because it's ever-changing, ever-growing. Next, telecommunications, Average tenure, 16.5 years. Next, nonprofit, average tenure, 15.8 years. Now, I want to camp on this one for a second. I think this is always going to be high on this list because this speaks to mission. I talk about talent and passion and mission. Talent, what you do best. Passion, work you love. And mission, results that matter to you. Let me tell you something. If you're working in the nonprofit space, I can guarantee you if you're staying that long, it's because you have high, high, high passion and high mission. It's very personal. Next, healthcare. Same thing. Passion and mission are going to be high here. Burnout is high in healthcare, but healthcare is next, number seven, at 14.9. Finance, average tenure, 14.9. Again, finance, much like technology, lots of opportunity, ever-changing, ever-growing, a lot of opportunity for professional growth in technology and finance, so that's why you're going to see a longer tenure in those areas. Boy, oh boy, this number is going to change. I'll bet you that education drops out of the top 10. Education, average tenure, 14.9 years. That is under assault. Teachers and principals are leaving at a record pace. Next, retail, average tenure, 14.8. That one won't be in the top 10 5 years from now. So hang on this list right here. If those of you are listening, I'm telling you right now, media at number three with an average tenure of 16.9 years. Education, number nine in the top 10 with an average tenure of 14.9 years. And retail, number 10, average tenure of 14. But let me tell you something. Those will not be in the top 10 5 years from now. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. There's no way. The trends right now are absolutely going to eat into that. Now, why do I share this data with you? Because Glassdoor also has some data that said people change roles every 15 months. And then, so this is very millennial, by the way. And millennials, and this is not a negative. Some of you just heard me insult millennials. Not an insult. The data show that millennials are expecting to change jobs every 12 to 18 months. So this 15-month thing, this is going to happen. Millennials are also the number one demographic in the workforce. So, why are people switching jobs? How do I break this down? By the way, I just happened to scan the chat room live on YouTube, and Milka just joined. Milka Ortiz, she's one of our faithfuls. Love my faithful folks that are here every day. I'm like a preacher. Like, there's certain people you can count on showing up at church every Sunday. Milka Ortiz is becoming a faithful. She just jumped in the chat room. And folks, I have ADHD. The laptop's right here. I'm literally going. I'm teaching. I look in the chat room and Milka goes, "Did I miss the crinkling of the paper?" Yes, Milka, you did. But because I'm a man of the people, there it is. Because here on my paper, two key reasons people switch jobs. And you need to be aware of this. Insufficient career advancement opportunities and dissatisfaction with the employer's culture. I need a ladder. I need to see growth. And I need to feel healthy. We're going to talk about that next. All right, folks, welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show. Okay, let's go off of our last segment. Let's reset. Let's remind you. You all have the attention span of a fruit fly on a sugar overdose. Everybody does. What are the two main reasons why people change jobs? Number one, insufficient career growth opportunities. They don't feel like they have an opportunity to grow, to advance, to climb. That's one. The other, they're in a crappy, unhealthy, toxic environment. All right, that leads us to today's big story. You're not going to believe this. Is eating good in the neighborhood still a thing? I don't know. Let's unpack it in the news. I got to lead right off by saying in college, I ate an inordinate amount of Applebee's food. there happened to be an Applebee's really close to my college campus. And you could eat cheap. You know what I'm saying? And let me tell you the key. I had a couple of friends who were on the wait staff. And so they would hook me up, if you know what I'm saying. A little free salad. A little free side of fries. I feel bad about it, Alex, enough so I felt the need to confess it. Because I'm about ready to keep it real. Here's the story. Some of you may have seen this. An atrocious email caused a mass resignation at an Applebee's in Kansas. Oh, my word. What are we going to do? So what happened? So a guy by the name of Wayne Pankratz. I'm going to call him Pankratz because that's funny to me. So Mr. Pankratz, he got made fun of in high school, guaranteed. He's an executive at a franchise group that operates the Lawrence, Kansas area restaurant of Applebee's and dozens of others. And so he sends an email. I'll dive into the email in a little bit. But here's the basic thing. In this article, it only pulls out one part of the email. We'll get to that. Well, here's the big rub. He sends out an email to the leadership group and the managers, and he basically said, most of our employees, this is a direct quote, most of our employees, base and potential employee base, live paycheck to paycheck. He's right about that. Why is Mr. Pankratz right about that? Because an overwhelming percentage of Americans, look this up for me, Alex, while I pontificate, but I want to say it's 70%+ of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck right now. He then goes on to say in the email, any increase in gas prices will cut 64%. Thank you, Alex. 64% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck. Any increase in gas prices cuts into their disposable income. I'm reading from his email. As inflation continues to climb and gas prices continue to go up, that means more hours employees will need to work to maintain their current level of living. He's right. But are they going to necessarily get it from him at Applebee's? And this is where he's short-sighted. And this is where everything goes off the rails. The labor market is about to turn in our favor. Now, I got to jump out of the article, and Alex is amazing because he got me the entire email. In the email, he also says, after talking about gas prices continuing to rise, he says, the advantage this has for us is that it will increase application flow and has the potential to lower our average wage. So what he's saying is people are going to be desperate for work, and so now we're not competing with other restaurants, and so we can lower wages. This is where everything goes wrong. All right? He just comes right out and says it. We're going to lower wages. Now, he's talking about, it appears in this email, he's talking about lower wages for new hires. But let me go back to the story. I'm back and forth, Alex. This is like ADD special right here. Okay? One of the managers at the restaurant gets a guy named Jake Holcomb. So the email goes out. Jake's on duty. Jake's a 23-year-old manager at Applebee's. So he's on the job, and then one of his coworkers comes in to have lunch with him at Applebee's and says, have you seen the email? Holcomb's like, I don't know what you're talking about. Guy forwards him the email. Holcomb reads the email. This is a direct quote. And he said, I quit on the spot. And then I printed out 24 stacks of the email, showed them to everyone on the shift, put them all over the store, on the tables, bar tops, the host stand, the doors, even the computer terminals. And then I gave everyone in the restaurant their food for free. We didn't even close the store. All right, lots of layers to this onion. I appreciate why Holcomb is mad. Why is Holcomb and everybody else mad? By the way, a bunch of them left. It was mass resignation. They walked out and left the store open. That means I could have walked in and stolen some breadsticks or whatever it is they serve at Applebee's.
Riblets.
Everybody could have been eating good in the neighborhood that day had they known there was a walkout. Hey, did you hear? Applebee's is wide open and there's not a soul in there. Woo! I think Lawrence, Kansas is where Kansas is, the university. I'm telling you, could have fed a whole dorm. Anyway, that's wrong. The young man's wrong. You don't steal. What he did was stealing. We live in a day and age where we think if someone has offended us, that all options are available. You remember the old phrase your mom used to teach you? Some of you youngins have never heard this phrase. I'm about ready to blow your mind. Two wrongs don't make a right. In other words, do I think Pankratz's email was wrong? Yeah, I think he's treating people like... Excuse me. I think he's treating employees like commodities. It's inhuman. It's wrong. I don't like it. But you don't steal, which is what you did. You could quit. That's your option to walk out. No problem. But you don't give everybody their food for free. It's not your decision. Not your call. You've quit. All right. Now, I want to go back to the email and then we'll get to the data. How much time? Okay. I got 2 minutes. Let's stay with me. Now, this is the full email Alex gave me. Okay, this is Pankratz. All right? Now, here's what he says. He point blank says, this is an advantage for us to pay people lower wages. He does, though, go on to say in the email, because I want to give you the whole picture. He does go on to the email to say, trying to get to it. He says, now, when able, offer a lower wage, but make sure that you have your pulse on the morale of your employees. Your employees live check to check, and they're impacted more than the people reading this email. Be conscious of that. So do things to make sure that you are the employer of choice. So here's what Pankratz is trying to do. Those are some good things that he's saying. Sorry, folks. I'm under attack from hay fever, apparently. Live on the show. Alex, Benadryl, stat. Wow. Here's the thing. What Pankratz does wrong is he communicates that the first option is paying people less. And what he needs to understand that the first option is to give people a chance at a better life. At a better life. You know what the Applebee's did? This is corporate. Applebee's had a national hiring day recently. You ready for this? They promised candidates a voucher for a free appetizer. So you're going to attract people with mozzarella sticks? It's not working. By the way, that campaign did not work. Pankratz was thinking about how to save himself money instead of how do we make money by attracting really good people who want to serve food and how can they make more money because we make more money. He's got it all backwards and it blew up in his face. Don't devalue your people. This is the Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, I got to tell you about ZipRecruiter. They get it. They understand how nasty emotionally a job search is. It just has all sorts of nasty. It's like a cocktail of gross, right? And ZipRecruiter's made it easy. That's why I endorse them. Number one, it's free to you, so I don't want anybody griping at me right now. I'm not selling you a pair of socks, all right? I'm telling you, the number one job site in the United States is ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com. What do? You fill out a profile one time, attach the resume, the Ken Coleman Show resume, which, come on, you know what I'm saying? And then you hit go, and they recruit for you. They send you job opportunities. They do the work for you, all right? So go right now, ZipRecruiter.com. A couple of weeks ago, I got distracted, as I do from time to time on the show, and I think you people enjoy it because I'm really trying to shed light on the positivity of ADHD. We got to stop medicating these kids, particularly boys. Boys are supposed to be rambunctious and a little bit more obnoxious than girls. I can say that because I'm a male. I'm not banging on boys, but I got two boys and I got a girl. I'm an expert. By the way, I'm still going to call them boys and I'm still going to call them girls. Oh boy, there I stepped in it. Anyway, we're medicating boys and girls that are a little on the hyperactive side of things because they're curious. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just a little bit more curious than the other kids. And so they get into messes because this is their world, all right? I'm going to verbally give you the example and then visually as well. It's like this. Oh, look at this. Look at that. Look at that. Woo, woo. It's like the movie Up. So beautifully captured with that dog. Squirrel. All right. This is what my brain is like. So I got distracted a couple weeks ago talking about eating on the show. And I went into this whole thing about eating. And I thought it'd be fun. I asked the YouTube chat room to weigh in on it. I think they resoundingly shut it down. And Alex is never going to allow it. But in the chat room right now, they're still staying on this theme of the mozzarella sticks. It's become the kind of the fun theme of today's show. And so a couple people are saying they think I need to eat mozzarella sticks on the show. So I just wanted to Instagram Live maybe. All right. But I don't think this is serious. I hope people understand I'm joking around. I am not that much of a narcissist to think that people want to actually watch me eat. I don't think that at all. I think it's just funny to talk about it. All right. Veronica's patiently waiting while I talk about eating. She's waiting for help. I'm here for you, Veronica. St. Paul, Minnesota is where she is. Veronica, you're on the Ken Colvin Show.
Hi, Ken. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can I help?
So I'm a single mom right now. My education background is I'm a mechanic and also in the Air Force Reserves.
Oh, wow. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Thank you, sir. My job I'm currently in isn't what I thought it was going to be. I'm not 100% excited about it anymore, and I want to switch my careers. I'm just worried that financially, as a single mom, between the school and everything, I'm going to start letting my kids down. I want to kind of switch to actually working with children, whether in a school setting or government agency, just proactively being there for kids.
Okay, good.
Making sure they have resources. I just am worried. I need some advice because I don't know with the career change. I've invested a lot into mechanical and it's just not what I thought it was.
That's okay.
Going to be.
But that's okay. All right. So we're going to make this super practical.
Okay.
Okay. Because the way we overcome fear is we define what we're afraid of, and then we ask ourselves, is fear protecting me, or is fear holding me back? Because that's the delineation. If I get too close to a fire, my favorite analogy is you get too close to the edge. I'm a guy that's scared to death of like the edge of falling over something. So if I'm out hiking or something and I get too close to the edge, fear is protecting me there, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's protecting me. But many times fear is lying to us and thus holding us back. I will tell you, your fear is holding you back. I already know it, but I want to help you see it. All right? So
okay.
You said earlier, I'm afraid of letting my kids down. That means, I'm guessing, not be able to provide for them.
Yes.
Okay. What has to be true? Let's just fast forward. What has to be true for you to not be able to feed and clothe and give your kids a safe place to stay? What has to be true?
Not having a job or having a job.
Yeah, not having a job.
Okay.
Sitting around eating bonbons and watching soap operas waiting for someone to contact you to give you gainful employment. Am I making sense?
Yes.
What are the chances of that happening, Veronica?
No.
Zero.
Yeah.
All right. Now, let's focus on how do we make the switch. Have you identified jobs in the marketplace, real jobs, or even a career where you're working with children? Have you identified it? You know what it is and you have an idea what entry level pays, what growth opportunities would look like and how they would pay. Do you know that?
For the most part, yes.
Great.
It bounces between two or three. I've just,
But that's the.
I'm worried about the education aspect.
Okay, what is the education required to do that work?
Bachelor's degree.
Okay, and do you have any kind of credits at all, or you got zero college credits?
I have credits. Unfortunately, they don't transfer. I've looked into that aspect, so I would be starting from scratch.
Okay. Does the Air Force Reserve get you the GI Bill?
Yes, it does.
So you don't have to worry about the cost of education?
For the most part, I think so.
Well, let's know so.
Okay.
My homework assignment for you is let's get to know so, not think so. Think so is dangerous. Do you know why think so is so dangerous? In the absence of true knowledge, our brain will start filling in the gaps. I don't ever want to hear you say think so about moving forward in this transition, because think so keeps me paralyzed in fear. Know so gets me fired up. I know what I got to do. All right, so let's get clear on that. I want to challenge you.
Okay. All right.
I want to challenge you. I don't know that I'm right. But I want you to prove me wrong. I sense, I believe that there are multiple jobs in the children's area, children's services, whatever you want to call it, taking care of kids that do not actually require a degree. And I want you to prove me wrong and go find out. There is an assumption, because some companies still, and this is the stupidest thing in the world, they require a bachelor's degree when the actual bachelor's degree doesn't qualify you to work with the kids. And when companies are doing this, it is stupid. Stupid.
Okay.
Because you could lose out on Veronica, who's a trained mechanic. She's a great problem solver. Oh, by the way, on top of that, she's in the Air Force Reserves. She serves our country. Give me an example really quick. We got a minute and a half. What's one position you're looking at right now that they're saying requires a bachelor's degree?
Family and consumer sciences teacher.
So you're teaching family and consumer sciences at a school?
Possibly, yes.
Okay, that's an education thing. I get that. I thought you were talking like child care, like working at daycares or preschool stuff. No, that's not what you're talking about?
That it's either that or the family consumer sciences. So it would be to work up to be director or
okay, good. But here's my
running.
Point. If I can get you from being a mechanic to working in a daycare center, and I'm making this up, for example, and you're making the same amount of money that you're making as a mechanic, then I'm in the industry and I can now apply my Air Force GI Bill towards taking my schooling part-time, and I'm still taking care of the kiddos, still serving my country, and it might take me a little longer, but I don't have an interruption in pay, and I never cause any kind of interruption in stability. Do you see what I've just painted?
Yes.
Does that picture that I've just painted, as awful as my painting is, is there any fear in that painting?
No.
All right, then. I still want to challenge you to see where can I get in without a degree now? And know that if I still have to have the degree to the level that I want to serve children, I can get the degree over time. But I'm not homeless. I'm not starving. You got it?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're a great lady, Veronica. Step into the fear. Fear's lying to you. Smack it. Smack it hard. This is the Ken Coleman Show. You matter. You have what it takes. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey, if you're a fan of this podcast, we've got more where that came from. Ever wondered how to win in business and leadership? I'm George Camel, host of the Entree Leadership Podcast, where you'll hear exceptional advice, origin stories, and practical strategies for success. These weekly conversations with America's brightest business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs will help you succeed in all areas of business and leadership. Listen to the Entree Leadership Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.